Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHG. Everybody watching now, please hit the like and subscribe buttons. If you have not done so, what are you waiting for? Please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the like button. You can see Tony Bruno in his Ricky Waters throwback jersey from...
Not Maxine Waters.
All right, let's, Tony, we started off the show. We skipped the big take because we just got so heated over the Trump's comments about taking over Gaza. Nick, for those tuning in late, if you want to kind of...
the whole world reacting to what Donald Trump said in regards to essentially de-escalating all the bombs and all the possible explosions that are in the ground there, and basically turning this into another one of his business ventures of demolishing property and rebuilding it from scratch, because for hundreds of years now, it's just been an unstable region, and you've got people out there wondering whether he's just spitballing, whether this is a legit plan. You know, we've got pro-America, anti-war, a lot of dynamics in play here.
Let's start here with Cut 19. Phil, we'll just kind of go through some of the stuff that was said late last night. Roll it.
U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. Do a real job, do something different, just can't.
You know, I want to bring up a different layer to this. Let's just say for a second that he's serious, and this is, like Dawn said earlier, a first draft, and this is not just, you know, whistling Dixie into the wind. So that's going to cost America. But to steal a line that Dawn steals from Zioli about lawyers, and they always get their cut and their vig, are you against this if America finds a way to make a profit off of doing so? I mean, I think maybe that should be thrown into the equation. I'm against foreign aid, but if America gets a cut and a kickback from the beneficiaries of what ultimately results in whatever Trump is creating.
First of all, he's saying clear the area. Like, you think Hamas is just going to go quietly?
Mr. Trump, bring your bulldozer in.
That's going to take military force to get them out of there.
Construction workers? Yep. And military working together. You're right.
Military force to get them out of there. And you think they're just going to say, oh, well, they're here. Oh, well, sorry.
No. First of all, you don't know that it's going to take military force. Don't know that.
Okay. Yeah. Because Hamas is just going to, have this land that we've been fighting over.
Here's the big thing about it. And they said this over and over. Hamas is gone. They're getting rid of Hamas. And that's part of the reason that they want to do, let's say, an evacuation to say we're going to do a renovation, because then they're going to blow up those tunnels underneath. All of those tunnels, the dungeons where they've been holding, remember they took the 251 hostages? They're going to get rid of all those tunnels. And that's really what I think, in part, this is all about. So they can never do this again, because this is where it's like in your lawn when you have like ground, whatever's digging down into the lawn, whether it's insects or little critters or whatever.
Or
you got to get rid of those, right? It's like Caddyshack. And so they're going to blow them up. That's what they're going to do. This is going to be a massive demolition of Gaza. But what they also do is they make it so that never again can they take 251 hostages, which is a whole lot of people, and hide them down in these caves
for a year and a half.
That's what this is about.
I equate this to the gallery project on East Market Street in Philadelphia. You know, you build it, it's a disaster, kids are hanging out, they shut it down, they spend another couple billion dollars, and they rename it the Fashion District. Nobody goes there. Then they said, let's build an arena there. Then they waste millions of dollars trying to get a stadium built there. And then they give up. In other words, it's nothing that is ever going to work there.
I was told that the Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. Are you saying that's not likely here, Tone?
I'm not saying. I understand. You know, BB wants to take out Hamas. And the thing that I agree about this, not whether or not, first of all, this is not going to happen in Trump's 4 years. It's not going to happen in 10 years. But I like the premise of, you've got to try something different. And remember, we've seen videos from that close back in the day, you know, when women weren't wearing hijabs and they were on the beaches, you know, and it was a beautiful resort. And then, of course, unfortunately, the government was Hamas. Hamas are the terrorists that put the Palestinian people in harm's way mm-hmm. by launching their bombs toward Israel from that area. So the only way you can stop it, and it's going to take a long time, and it's not just going to take our tax dollars, it's going to take multiple, it's going to take the Saudis. I mean, look what's happening in the UAE. You know, look at these countries that don't have water anywhere near them. They build water, they build oceans, they build skyscrapers, and then people want to go there. So I think this makes sense from a, the only way you can fix it is to destroy it, clean it up, and then start fresh.
Okay, so.
And the people, the Palestinians, you know, they're going to have to go somewhere anyway. They can't live in a war zone.
I agree.
That's a fact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree that you have to do something different. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, and then you don't get them. But there's doing different things or doing something different can be multiple things. Why is it that we have to bulldoze it, build there, send our people, send our money? What is so outlandish and wild? Because the one thing, I love this country, but I hate the fact that we try to be the world police of everybody. Why don't we just let them deal with their problem? Israel, Hamas, Israel, Syria, Jews, Arabs. Let all of those other surrounding nations figure it out. And let's just take our foot off the gas pedal and say, you know what? It's your problem. You deal with it. If you're America first,
I think Trump. But Nick, I think Trump just lit the fuse yesterday because nobody's thinking about this stuff. Right. You're absolutely right, Dawn. He's not saying, let's go in there and spend all of our money and rebuild. No, he's saying that the old, and you mentioned it, all of the tunnel systems, all of that's got to be gutted. Yep. It's got to be, it's like the refineries over there near the airport. Remember, that was a toxic waste site. They gutted all that, they cleaned it out, and now they're going to build again. And so that's what you have to do. Obviously, the difference is that that's not a war zone, but it was a dangerous area. And so that's what they have to do. And I think Trump lit the fuse. And I don't think it's going to be the Americans. I think it's going to motivate all of those neighboring countries to say, hey, that's going to be a beautiful resort town. You've seen what it looked like before. Well, so why can't it look like that again in 20, 30 years from now?
Let's play that to what Tony just said. This is cut 15, Phil. If you can grab 15, roll it.
I do see a long-term ownership position, and I see it bringing great stability to that part of the Middle East and maybe the entire Middle East. And everybody I've spoken to, this was not a decision made lightly. Everybody I've spoken to loves the idea of the United States owning that piece of land, developing and creating thousands of jobs with something that will be magnificent in a really magnificent area that nobody would know. Nobody can look because all they see is death and destruction and rubble and demolished buildings falling all over. It's just a terrible sight. I've studied it. I've studied this very closely over a lot of months, and I've seen it from every different angle, and it's a very, very dangerous place to be, and it's only going to get worse. And I think this is an idea that's gotten tremendous, and I'm talking about from the highest level of leadership, gotten tremendous praise. And if the United States can help to bring stability and peace in the Middle East, we'll do that, baby.
Look, I mean,
you have to learn from history. History has, you know, just can't let it keep repeating itself. We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad.
Where do those people go in the meantime, Mr. President?
But more importantly than that is the people that have been absolutely destroyed that live there now can live in peace in a much better situation because they're living in hell. And those people will now be able to live in peace. We'll make sure that it's done world class. It'll be wonderful for the people.
But
Palestinians mostly we're talking about.
Shut up, Caitlin.
I have a feeling that despite them saying no, I have a feeling that the king in Jordan and that the general president, but that the general in Egypt will open their hearts and will give us the kind of land that we need to get this done. and people can live in harmony and in peace. Thank you all very much.
I mean, he's presenting it, I think, right there from two different angles. He's talking about stabilizing the region and getting peace, mm-hmm. but he's also talking, and you heard the words, a stake and the United States control. He's looking, and I trust him on this, if he's looked at it from every angle, from a piece of property perspective, I mean, Trump, that's Trump's wheelhouse, looking at property, assessing value, and saying, I want to build something, and I've had a history of doing it.
He knows real estate.
You guys are naive if you think that the terrorists in the Middle East are just going to say, yeah, sure, build a resort
here. Of course not. Of course not. And they're not going to go away.
Of course not. They've got to be eradicated.
But he
wants to go in there and finish it.
Yep.
That's Bibi's goal. Finish it, clean it out. And then the Hamas people
what about
are
Iran?
The ones who are hurting the Palestinians.
What about
They're
Iran?
They're the ones. Hamas has to be eradicated.
Oh, no. If you think any of these Middle Eastern countries or any of these terrorist groups are just going to roll over and play dead, I mean, you're insane, which is why I think
they're going to roll over and die.
You're like a dog. But this is why I think you're right.
That's going to be troops coming in, right?
No, but this will never.
That are going to finish the job.
This would, if you go forward with this will never reach completion during Trump's term. This won't reach completion probably during my lifetime.
Well,
in my opinion. Bruno's going to live longer than me. We've already established
Stop.
That.
Stop saying that. No,
I just want my house to be built. And by the way, the construction is well underway. And I will have, there'll be a Taj Mahal down here on Cape Coral. It will be, I'm going to have Trump build a little mini golf course in the back, a putting green. Yeah. So that when Nick comes down and we have WPHT parties out overlooking the Gulf of America now. Because I have a view of the Gulf of America now from the new house. And we've got the electricians, the rough-in electrical. We got the plumbing. We got the HVAC. That's what America wants to see, making Southwest Florida great again.
Yes.
Beautiful.
I mean, if this would come under U.S. control, or if the United States would have a stake in it, obviously the United States wants to benefit and profit from it. I can get on board with that if it becomes a net positive for us financially. But I'm not interested in just shelling out my dollars to create some resort for the premise and the notion of unbridled stability in the Middle East. And how long until a terrorist attack goes in and blows up everything that we build? This is a pipe dream, in my opinion.
Fox's true.
I think everybody's looking at this as a reality, and it's going to happen, and they're going to bring the bulldozers in next week. This is long term.
Yes.
This is Trump saying what we've been doing, what they've been doing. Israel's our only legit ally over there. And so the only way to stop this is to not do the same thing over and over again.
Bingo. These are
verbal. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's ready to go in there and put a flag in it that says Trump, Gaza. Somebody wrote Gaza land. Or MAGAZA, you get it?
Make Gaza
that area
great again?
Will be renamed
was Gaza great to begin with?
MAGAZA.
What Trump is good at is verbal bulldozers. So he's trying to take us through and say, we stuck our finger in here in the United States of America with the creation of Israel, then the war of 1967, then the Israeli government, the Jewish occupation, if you will. And it has been a nightmare back and forth. And so he's trying to verbally bulldoze the way people look at this region. And Iran this morning is saying they want to come to the table. And that's, Iran is in a very weak point. Even though last night somebody said that, a reporter asked Trump that. He said, oh, no, Iran is not weak.
No.
This is so when we just step back a minute and think about what Trump is trying to do here. And he's doing more than Biden could possibly do or his failed administration in 4 years, because Trump is getting the Middle East. He's trying to figure this out and trying to get everybody back to the table and try to restore peace to that area. And I believe that with this conversation, with those verbal bulldozers, if you will, last night, that he is succeeding in that, and that's the real goal.
I mean, if he can verbally bulldoze other nations into spending their money and their troops, that's fine. I just don't want to keep investing American assets and resources into a pointless, useless conflict that will go on until the earth explodes.
But what the Arab world and the Palestinians are peed off about is that Israeli occupation.
Sure.
So what Trump is proposing here, knowing that there will be a conversation and a negotiation. What he's saying really diplomatically to his dear friend and supporter, Bibi, is, Bibi, you guys got to get your soldiers out. And he's saying, we're willing to do this, knowing, of course, that they're not going to go for that. And that brings in that negotiation. And so now, who will be there? UN? Will it be a combo deal with the Arab world coming in there? But at the end of the day, this is very delicate stuff, because right now it's Israeli occupation, and that just infuriates the Arab world, Iran, and brings forth these terrorists. He's trying to get rid of that and change the dynamic.
But I think you have to understand the players at stake here and what they represent. And I'm speaking specifically with Hamas and these terrorists.
Hamas is done.
You can't negotiate.
They're obliterated. They're done, Nick.
No, they are not.
They're done.
ISIS, Al-Qaeda,
whatever.
All of these terrorists. You can call them whatever you want. They all respawn like in a video game. They're all being trained from the day they were born to hate Western
society. Well, Trump with his Moab, sure. We never talked back in his first administration. Yeah. When he did the Moab and his generals, we said, oh, what refugees? What? You remember that whole thing? Aleppo?
Sure.
It ended. He silenced them. He's going to do that with Hamas. We're not going to. And maybe in a few years we'll hear about another group. But Hamas,
they're aware, done.
They're out of there.
We are aware that Trump won't live forever, right? Do we all realize that?
I don't know.
I know some people think he created the heavens and the earth and he can walk on water and the whole thing. I get that those people exist. But, I mean, you don't think, I mean, you saw Trump left office. What happened? The Middle East went to hell again.
Mm-hmm.
You can't negotiate with crazy. You can't, you can say, well, we struck a deal with the Abraham Accords and, oh, we had unbridled peace. You really don't think that these terrorists, the entire time that deal was struck, were plotting and waiting for the moment Trump left office?
Yep, they
so
were.
That they could hang glide and paraglide in on October 7th and slaughter 1,200 music fest goers?
Yep.
This endless war of good versus evil, and the part where I say you can't negotiate with crazy, this is what's so crazy about this. And this is not against the Muslim community. This is against the radicalized extremist mm-hmm. sector. They actually believe that God, their God, Allah, wants them to go and slaughter people. To me, that sounds crazy.
Why do you think, then, that this is so urgent? Think about Trump and what he has accomplished in just a couple of weeks. Why do you think this is so urgent to him? The first person he has, the first world leader he has at the White House, they met all day. He held two different news conferences, by the way. And this is urgent to him because he knows he's not going to live forever. And this is a huge priority because it impacts the world, because even though he talks about drill, baby, drill, and that's all part of the vision here that we can be energy independent, but at the same time, he knows that that part of the world is a critical part of the world as far as when you look at geopolitical power and when you think about energy and all of that. And so that's why early in his administration, this man has wasted no time in saying, we got to deal with the Middle East and figure something out.
Oh, I mean, he's done a fantastic job, in my opinion, so far.
It's a breathtaking pace.
It really is. But just real, one last final note. Yeah, I agree with him and you, Dawn, on what he said about Iran. I don't think Iran is weak, and I think, do we have the clip of assassination attempt?
This is
this is awesome.
Yeah, this is cut 7, Phil, where he says he left instructions to obliterate Iran if they assassinate him.
I'm happy to sign it if it's Iran and their proxies who have threatened to retaliate against you and your team by killing you guys or taking out Soleimani.
Well, they haven't done that, and that would be a terrible thing for them to do. Not because of me. If they did that, they would be obliterated. That would be the end. I've left instructions. If they do it, they get obliterated. There won't be anything left. And they shouldn't be able to do it. And Biden should have said that, but he never did. I don't know why. Lack of intelligence, perhaps. But he never said it. If that happens to a leader, or close to a leader, frankly, if you had other people involved also, you would call for total obliteration of a state that did it. That would include Iran. So I'm signing this, and it's a very powerful document, but hopefully we're not going to have to use it.
I absolutely love that. That is one of my favorite Trump clips. That is peak FAFO personified right there. you mess with me or anybody in my cabinet and pull off an assassination, we will wipe you off the face of the earth. And that's not being pro-war. That's retaliation if you overstep your bounds, Iran. And I love that. Put the fear of God into them because they are the ones bankrolling all the terrorist funding and training in all of these nations across the Middle East.
So this is him restoring his maximum pressure campaign that he did before on Iran. Their reaction to all of this, by the way, is that they said that U.S. concerns about Iran, I'm quoting here, developing nuclear weapons are not a complicated issue and could be resolved given Tehran's opposition to weapons of mass destruction, because he had talked about during the later news conference, as well as referring to what he just said, talked about the fact that they cannot have nuke possibility, you know, power possibilities. So the headline this morning, by the way, that you're waking up to is, yeah, Iran, they are ready to resolve disputes. That's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he, that was part of the goal that I believe
that's power
he was
right
after.
There, right?
And it's, well, it's peace through strength, not right. weakness like we saw before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about when he shoots at full maximum power, whether it's Canada, Mexico, or Iran, we don't even get to the next calendar day before reports come out about, you know, willing to negotiate. It really is remarkable. I give them a ton of credit for that. These leaders know not to mess around, which was not the case 6 weeks ago.
One more on this, on the Gaza thing. Fox's Trey Ying says it would not be surprising if Trump's Gaza comments torpedoed the ceasefire agreement. Roll it.
This is breaking news. President Trump says the United States will take over the Gaza Strip. He implied that it would turn ultimately into an international piece of land, indicating that all Palestinians would be displaced from Gaza and then resettled in other countries like Egypt and Jordan. Now, the Egyptians and the Jordanians have multiple times rejected this idea, but this was the clearest that President Trump has been since he started talking about Gaza in what his plans are in supporting the Israelis moving forward for what appears to be an idea to take Gaza from the Palestinians and give it to the Americans. All of this, again, is just coming in right now following remarks from President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at a joint press conference at the White House. And it raises massive questions about the possibility of American troops operating inside Gaza. It raises questions about what will happen to Palestinians. And it also raises huge questions about the current ceasefire agreement that is supposed to see the remaining hostages released from Gaza. There are dozens of living hostages inside the Gaza Strip right now being held by Hamas, the group that is currently in control of Gaza. And it would not be surprising if tomorrow Hamas threatens to step back from the current agreement or puts more pressure at the negotiating table. But the timing of these remarks is very significant, remembering that these hostages remain in Hamas captivity, and Palestinians being removed from Gaza has been a red line, not only for Hamas, but for regional countries, including Egypt, Jordan, and others, as it relates to the Palestinian people there.
I actually disagree.
Now, guys, that was last night, Nick, but the story this morning is Mike Waltz from Florida here, Trump's national security advisor. He says that Trump's proposal to, quote, take over Gaza is meant to pressure neighboring Arab nations to come up with their own solutions.
Good.
Who's been saying that?
That's what this is.
Who's been saying that all morning?
That's what this is. Exactly.
Good. That's what I want.
Everybody thinks Trump's going to go over there and send bulldozers tomorrow. It's not going to happen for decades.
No. I just don't want us being involved anymore. I'm so done with the...
Nick, we're going to be involved. Well. You know what I mean? That's like you saying you're not going to be involved with your mother-in-law. You know what I mean? Like, sorry.
Damn you, Stensland.
Come on.
All right, I'll yell on that note. What we do
by
for
the
a
way,
break?
The only thing better than this never-ending cut sheet is the never-ending pasta bar.
Pasta bar.
At Olive Garden.
What, do you got a live read to do here?
No. I'm trying to think of never-ending things, the never-ending story, the never-ending cut sheet. You know, but what else is good?
Well, and also, too, I don't think with Trump at the helm that Hamas will violate the ceasefire. I think they might be crazy, but they're not stupid. Mm-hmm. I think that could happen under a different leadership. Now, that doesn't mean that another third party wouldn't get involved and not take credit for it and claim that it was Hamas that did it, whether these other fringe radical groups that are out there, not named technically Hamas. But I can't see and this is just my view. Anything Trump said in the last 24 hours in regards to this entire region, I don't think anything is going to resort in somebody violating it here. Because if they messed around, he's already told you what's going to happen.
Just remember what he's doing here. And this is really, really delicate and it's nuanced. But remember when he talks about control, who has control that is going to have to give up some control? Israel. So that, to me, when Bibi Netanyahu was looking at him, he knows what Trump is doing. Israel controls a piece of the Gaza Strip, those northern borders, as well as the territorial waters and the airspace. And he mentioned Egypt. They have some control along the south. So think about what Trump is renegotiating the whole deal. And there are many in the Arab world who want that, and they want to loosen the grip of Israel, what they control.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a piece of this that Trump is saying to Bibi, hey, Bibi, I've got your back. You got to give up something in return.
855-839-1210. We legitimately have callers with a wide range of viewpoints on this.
Shocking.
Pro Nick, pro Dawn, pro AOC. We got everything here. Let's just start right at the top. Mark is in Philadelphia, and he says this is all part of the plan. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. All right, I'm going to start off like I always do. I voted for Trump so I could talk this way, but I love your show. Now, look, this is very disgusting. Like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I called you guys a long time ago, and I said this exactly. October 7th was planned. Please let me speak. October 7th was planned.
By who?
You mean to tell me Israel can shoot down hundreds of missiles, but they let terrorists fly in on gliders? This was planned. This was planned when Kushner got the $2 billion. This was planned. And Chris Cuomo pushed it off last night. Chris Murphy pushed it off today. Trump is joking. Trump doesn't mean it. Believe what he says. Like, the guy means it. He's a builder. Kushner even said that Gaza was a great real estate property. This is sickening.
I don't think you're out of line by saying this was planned or allowed. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe 9/11 was allowed to happen to further a war in the military.
Exactly.
You're not out of line by saying that, Mark.
Dude, it is really, dude. When I heard Trump speak last night, dude, I don't cry, but I was so upset. And my wife's like, I can't believe you predicted it. I'm like, dude, I can't. This is sick. The Riviera of the Middle East. Are you kidding me? Like, come on, dude. You know you had this planned.
Wait, no, planned
this
as in...
planned. This is genocide.
They killed...
All right,
Who's saying planned it? If everybody will let me speak, that's what I'm going to ask.
Trump,
are you saying that Israel allowed it or Trump did?
Everybody.
Well, why would Trump do it when he's not in office? This was October 7th of 2023. Trump doesn't know that he's going to end up winning the election. And on July 13th, the guy might have died. So I don't know how you could sit there and say that. You're almost implying that this was collusion between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu and perhaps other parties. Now, that I think is a little far-fetched. Could I see Israel? Your first point, if Israel can shoot out missiles from the sky, how can they not detect people flying in on a kite? I mean, okay, I'm with you there. I don't know that, and this is not to defend Trump, but, I mean, that was a year and a half before Trump got elected. I mean, that would be next-level diabolical plotting, right? I mean, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 18 minutes. Well, actually, I do. 855-839-1210.
By the way, my good buddy Hassan Bin Sober on X at Tony Bruno Show, Mar-a-Gaza. So that's another name for the new resort, Mar-a-Gaza.
Is that
Mar-a-Lago?
Oh, is Italy jumping in now, too?
No, it's Mar-a-Lago. And then it's Mar-a-Gaza.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick. We got to come up with these names.
Come on, Nick.
It's a bad job.
Come on, man.
Let me go to, let's go to Marilyn. Not Maryland, but Marilyn in Delaware. Hello, Marilyn.
Hello. All right. Why don't we clean up our house
Amen.
Before we worry about other houses.
Yep.
That's my whole thing. For 4 years, we had a wackadoodle that did absolutely nothing. I am from Kensington and worked at Kellis's and cried the last time I was down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're fighting all these people, and I get what Trump's saying. I really do. But in retrospect, how come everybody's worried about other houses before we're worried about fixing ours? And this wackadoodle that called before me? Talk, Nick.
Double wackadoodles, Marilyn. We got two wackadoodles in one call. You want to go for the hat trick?
It's wackadoodle Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wackadoodles are our best customers.
I agree.
Oh, I love you guys. But Nick.
Marilyn, real quick, because we had Joe Conklin in here last Friday. Have you ever been in Kensington? Have you ever been to Chip Snapper's bar?
No, I could work the pot now.
We need to get you know, Marilyn, I don't need your political views. I need you on the poll. How does that sound?
All right, listen. You and I have been going through this, but I'm just saying, no, in all honesty, the guy that called before me, he needs to, I'm really getting tired of all of us.
And there she goes. Now, Marilyn.
Nick, now listen.
Marilyn, now listen. We got to adhere to FCC rules here. All right?
Can't say that S word.
She is so riled up. She's riled up.
That's right.
She's right, though. I mean, like, we have to fix our own S word before we fix other people's X.
I just want to remind everybody, S-words. All he did was talk. That's all
exactly.
He did.
Agreed.
There's no money. There's no nothing. All the guy did was say a few words.
Everybody is, getting all bent out of shape about this. But we started the show at 6 a.m. by saying, like, we have to let this play out for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's, we have no details. We have no anything. We just have words. Yeah. And everybody is like, you know, I'm just saying that, like, we're not into, I'm not into nation building. I'm just not.
Yeah. I just built shows.
Okay.
And by the way, in 24 hours, there will be something else that's going to be earth-shattering that we'll be talking about.
Thank you, Don.
The news cycle used to be like 3 days. Now the news cycle is like every 3 hours something happens. Am I right?
Exactly.
Damn right. We can do, look, there's a lot of shows going on right now. We're doing a show. Yeah, there's a show in the YouTube chat. There's a show with the callers. Let me grab one more here. Jonathan is in New Jersey. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, just to make a few points. Number one, we already have people over there. According to The Guardian, the Associated Press, and other people, they're already American contractors under the current ceasefire deal that are taking over checkpoints, searching vehicles in and out of Gaza. And that scares the crap out of me, along with the statements of the president, because I served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. I have friends that are horribly screwed up from the last two wars we fought there.
Yeah.
And this is just like them trying to drag us in, like the Ukrainians dragging us into their own mess. And I'm tired of me and my brothers and sisters having to go die or fight people over crap that's not even ours.
Yeah.
I support Israel and all that stuff, but this is ridiculous. We cannot do this. We cannot play these games with these people anymore. Let them fight it out themselves. They want to fight each other. They don't want to make a deal. Why does my tax dollars and my brothers and sisters have to go fight for them?
Amen.
Amen, Jonathan. I agree.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, we have our vet spotlight coming up in about 20 minutes, and we'll talk to
And, you know, you can hate on – listen, Trump is the most anti-war former Democrat you'll ever see. He is not a guy who wants to start wars. He wants to end them. And so I don't think he's doing this to get us into an all-out Middle East war. I think he wants to get them involved in their own problems so that he threw this little nugget out to get everybody talking about it. That's all. Saudi Arabia may get involved, and they like to build stuff. Go look all over the Middle East where, you know, all these UAEs and all these other amazing islands where there's no water, and they're building cruise ships in the middle of the desert. So I think that Trump is trying to light the fuse and then let everybody figure it out. But by tomorrow morning at this time, something else is going to happen, and then we'll be talking about that.
Exactly. You should have seen our group text last night. We were just like, "What?" Like, we just throw the show sheet out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what we're going to do.
Too awesome in the fireplace.
We need to send troops. We need to send troops into Philadelphia, where two 13-year-old carjackers were in the back alley. Have you seen this story? Steve Keeley is all over it. A vehicle owner with a permit to carry concealed got into a shootout with two 13-year-olds.
The hell was
that's what's
Kelly
happening in Philadelphia. We're worrying about Gaza.
Yeah.
What's going on in our city, the city of Philadelphia, where I still own a home, by the way. So when people say, you're in Florida, why don't you talk about Philly? Because I'm still a taxpayer there.
That's right. If you're a taxpayer, then you're here.
And just to reiterate when we talk about this deal, because I know everybody's saying, well, look what Trump did with Canada and Mexico. Getting Justin Trudeau and Claudia Sheinbaum to bend the knee is a little easier than getting Hamas to pay attention.
Before you go back to the calls, Nick, can I just play? So Trump reacted to you mentioned yesterday Joe Biden signing with the talent agency, CAA.
Big guy going Hollywood.
Yeah. He reacted to Peter Ducey, or Steve Ducey, Peter Ducey, I don't know, whatever.
The kid's Peter.
Yeah,
Peter,
Peter Ducey telling him that yesterday.
Many times. What do you think about Joe Biden signing on with a talent agency?
You got to be kidding. He signed on with a talent agency?
Yes, he's got some entertainment agents now.
I think he's got bigger problems than that.
I agree.
I think he's got much bigger problems than that, but I wish him well. We inherited a mess. This place is a mess, but it's quickly being solved, the problem. We're going to make America great again. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, let's go.
It's like what I inherited at 1210.
Well, there you go. you're the Trump brand manager of 1210.
Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, too, I know people were talking. I actually had this on the show sheet for yesterday. Surprising we never got to it. But, I mean, like, CAA, I mean, maybe there's a ghostwriter for a book for Joe. I mean, what's he going to end up doing? Like an Aviator Shades commercial?
Yeah.
A Mustang commercial? A muscle car? Like, really? I mean, and Trump knows that. I mean, Trump's Hollywood. Trump is entertainment. You know, the Apprentice, the whole thing with NBC. Ain't nobody going to hide. Joe can't memorize his lines in the White House. He's going to end up with a movie screen.
What could he possibly be doing with his talent agency?
I don't know.
Dr. Jill wants to make some
Thank you.
Rebooting Hondo?
Dawn is correct. This is all Jill.
Jill's like, I need more money. I need my slush fund dried up. We're going to send Hunter around the globe. Start using the family influence. Amy's in Quakertown. She's up next. Hello, Amy.
Hi, good morning. My husband listens to the show all the time, and we were driving listening, and the lady called in from, I guess it was Kensington, and the guy before her was all worried about what Trump's going to do. He's a Trump voter, but he went off, and it was pre-planned and all that. Trump is a calculated man. We voted for Trump. I voted for Trump. I'm a Trumpaholic, and I just love watching what he's going to do, but we have to sit back and watch him work. He's calculated. He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants to fix things here at home and abroad, and if we don't get that settled, he knows it's always going to be something that we're going to have to deal with. And I think his idea is great.
Oh, and don't get it twisted. I have faith. I mean, look, you look at it's not blind faith. It's not loyalist, you know, just growing with whatever he says. I mean, he showed in 2018 with the Abraham Accords that he could get things done in the Middle East. I give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm well above 50-50 that it will work out. I just don't want to get to the point, because what I have been saying is I'm done with Russia, Ukraine. I'm done with the Middle East under the past administration. So I'm not going to be a hypocrite and then be all on board with war in the Middle East just because my guy's calling the shots now. That's all I'm saying.
Amy, voice of reason.
I don't want any wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like radio wars, but those dried up a few years ago.
Yeah. There's nobody even cares enough to have a radio war anymore. No. Nobody's left.
That's right. We'll send Crossing Broad to Gaza. Get out.
All right, we should break here, guys.
All right. Coming up next, we will get to a big three from Dawn. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight brought to you by Window Nation. United States Marine Corps veteran Joey Fay will be with us for a couple of minutes. Today in Music History, our movie clip for the $50 Gallows gift card, and a whole lot more. And we'll say goodbye to Bruno in the big three, and we'll do that coming up after this. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Tony Bruno's with us for a few more minutes from Florida, and we will riff and react to Dawn Stensland's Big Three at 9:22.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale and Company.
Let's begin with New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, because Tom Homan is threatening to seek prosecution against the governor and the governor's alleged guest over his garage that we've been talking about all week. But everybody's been talking about this, and Murphy and his spokespeople kind of backtracking on that earlier statement that we've been talking about.
The Gov got a little loose with the lips, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do damage control mode.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tony, don't you think he did this for attention? Don't you think Phil Murphy did it just to...
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. He was sitting somewhere. It looked like there was a trap door. He's being interviewed by this woman.
Yeah.
In a low-energy podcast.
Then he starts...
Yeah.
What was that called?
Trapdoor.
It was some low energy podcast. Yeah.
Oh, low energy podcast. I never done a low energy podcast.
That's true.
For any shows. So he's out there. You know, he's a tough guy. You know, yeah. He's a tough guy that walks around drunk in casinos at 3 o'clock in the morning in New Jersey, while looking like a ragged crumb creep coward that he is. And so, I guess he didn't realize that clip would be broadcast everywhere. And so he's getting destroyed nationally.
Yep.
And so what happens now? They got to walk it back. Because you know what? There's going to be one of these mayors or governors or people talking trash and allowing all these people to protest, which they have a right to do as long as they don't block traffic or push people around. There's going to be somebody that's going to be arrested. And that person is going to be the face of why these morons in these sanctuary cities are going to have to change their tune. Wouldn't you love to see Murphy handcuffed and dragged out just like he did to the people at the gyms that were trying to open up during the pandemic? Remember what he did to people? The Attila's gym? Remember those guys?
Yeah. Yes.
Remember what he did? He had the cops going there every day and shutting it down and putting up plywood.
Mm-hmm.
I want him in plywood. I want Phil Murphy dragged out on his drunken ass and thrown into the slammer in Trenton.
By the way, I want to see his ass with a Trenton makes.
Exactly.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying about Phil Murphy because I despise him. But don't you think it would make him more of like a martyr and a heroic figure to the left?
Oh, to the far left, yes. I mean, this would be threats to democracy. This would be dictator on day one. Didn't we tell you he was going to do this?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I want to see Tom Holman go into his house in Trenton and go up into the attic.
Not just find out
an illegal immigrant living up there who's probably his maid, who he's banging on the side.
Well, we don't know that.
And then he find out the whole bit, you know. It could be another nanny situation.
Well, it is WrestleMania season, Tone. And as a booker of matches, I want Tom Holman and Phil Murphy in a migrant on a pole match.
Oh, my God.
On Saturday night, night one of WrestleMania.
Lord, man, we need...
I want a suitcase hanging up. What's the one where they got to climb up and get the suitcase?
Yeah, that's the money in the bank briefcase.
Money in the bank briefcase. That's it.
People know what we just said.
By the way, all of this is alleged. We're just, yes. You know, we don't know any of this.
What's alleged?
That he's banging.
No, I'm just saying
I speculated that yesterday that there could be, you know, I don't have any proof.
Let's go back to
up,
our responsible Emmy Award-winning journalist.
Thank you.
Don Spenceland.
I'm sorry, Dawn.
No, don't be sorry.
Dawn's like, did I really sign up for this? You know, Greg, after further review.
You know, it's hard to pick and choose the stories. We haven't talked much about Elon Musk.
This is Dawn. I can't come in today or any other day in the future. So thank you and good night.
Wait, was that were we on a Delta Airlines flight?
Woo!
Greg, you would make a great stewardess.
Thank you.
Hi, Captain speaking.
I do have the legs.
Captain over.
Thank you.
Captain under.
The cockpit is on fire. I repeat, the cockpit is on fire. Abort.
Captain Tony. So the big focus, we've talked about Elon Musk shaking things up. They're calling him the Techno King and saying that how could Musk, unelected, dismantle the government, shaking the foundations of our nation, etc. So now what they're going after, and Caroline Leavitt, we heard it this week, is they're going after the legality of Elon Musk's job. So I think they've been throwing, it's like throwing spaghetti at the wall. They've been trying to see what sticks. So Elon, because he's a special employee, as he is trying to clear things out, But now lawmakers, and this is a growing movement, even with some Republicans reportedly saying that Musk is not allowed to, that he's overreaching, if you will. And this has to do with the shrinking of the government size with Elon Musk and Doge. And so this is just something I want to put on your radar. We haven't really talked about this, but we've talked this morning, obviously, about tomorrow, TikTok, the federal government, February 6th, 20,000 plus employees signing on to the deal that we've talked about for 1 week ago today. You know, they're being offered this buyout. And then on top of it, now going after offering basically the same thing to the CIA to try to shrink government there. So what is the legality of being a special employee? I guess he'd be 130 days. That's his timeline that we've talked a little bit, but just want to put that on your radar that that's one of the big stories this morning. And then number three, I guess you want me to talk about the winter weather advisory, or do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, the weather would be fine.
Weather.
Yeah. Tony can rub it in about the fact that it's going to be 85.
No, I'm not. That's not my style.
Right. So the winter weather advisory goes into effect 11 o'clock tonight and lasts through 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's going to be ugly. For most of us, it's going to be this rain snow mix. Right.
By the way, I expect all of you in here bright and early.
Yeah, the one thing I hate, I mean, I said it yesterday, give me a nice 6 incher or give me nothing.
Well, that's what she said.
He's a wanker.
I always feel like Dora the Explorer, like with the, he said 6 inches.
Oh, no.
You know, like the
six to eight has always been, I doing weather and traffic in Philly all those years.
Yeah.
Nobody, women always got excited when they heard 6 to 8 inches.
Right. They always,
I mean, let's be honest, right?
Right. Yeah.
Always.
It's back in your 12.
And 10. Some men, too. I don't want to leave the men out. Some men know about that way.
I mean, exactly. I mean, you know, back in your 12-10 WCAU days. And yes, nowadays, the men, be, you know, they could be seeking 6 to 8.
Mayor Pete!
No, I don't know.
And guys,
as
Frank Kurt said in those commercials, and guys, she'll like it too.
Oh, boy. All right. Whew.
So that's tomorrow. It will heat up to the mid-40s tomorrow. That's the high. So we're really just looking at the morning commute that will be messy. And then for your Friday, partly sunny, breezy, a balmy high of 45 degrees, just like, well, Tony Bruno and Ms. Robin have what? You're at 85, so you're 40 degrees bigger than us.
Yeah, take that, Bruno. 45 tomorrow,
45.
Pal.
Yeah.
Big three.
Big three.
You know, when it got to be 50 in Philly, when I was, you know, as we got closer to spring, that's when you bust out the flip-flops and the shorts.
Yeah.
50
I will
degrees,
be wearing
it's time
flips
to go
again.
Outside, baby.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll have the flip-flops back on by St. Patty's Day. All right, that's it for Bruno. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
Tony.
You're extended.
Good night, everybody. Captain and I don't know about you, as Joe Biden once said, but I'm going to go to bed right now.
As Joe would say.
All right. God save the queen, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, God save the queen.
Tony Bruno from Florida.
Amen,
coming
brother.
Up next, we will have our 1210 WPHT Veteran Spotlight brought to you by Window Nation. United States Marine Corps vet Joey Fay will be with us, who has military area building experience and could very well be involved in California's recovery efforts. And I'm sure he's got some thoughts on maybe what Trump would do in the Middle East. So this is a very good spot, and we'll do it coming up next here on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Gentlemen, how are we feeling this morning?
Go Birds.
Go Birds. You're all fired up for the Super Bowl. I love it. You're actually the perfect vet to come in this morning because of everything that's going on in the news over in the Middle East with what Trump talked about. And we're going to get to your journey in a moment. But you were telling Greg and I during the breakout in the lobby that you could very well be involved eventually in some of these rebuild efforts from a military slash construction standpoint. We'll get to the Middle East in a moment and what Trump is kind of floating out there, but you might be heading out to the West Coast in California.
We're actually trying to. So, you know, given that we're in the construction industry and we're a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business at MCFA, some of the project management and capital construction that we do and involves this kind of work. And right now we're trying to piece together a network of veteran-owned small businesses who can deploy to support what's happening in California, because this is unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, even Katrina and other things, you know, the California rebuild is going to be years. And in our mind, it takes sort of that military mindset to deploy into those sites, create a command and operations center, and run everything out of that until you compare that back. That's what we do when we go overseas. I think that's what's called for right now in California, and we're trying to build that through our network of veteran-owned businesses.
If people are listening that can assist in any way, is there a way, in order from a humanitarian standpoint, how can people reach out to you? Is there a email address that you can give? Are you on social media? I mean, I'm assuming it's kind of all hands on deck, probably.
Yeah, I'm not hard to find. MCFAglobal.com is our website.
MCFAglobal.com.
You can find me there. We're putting together the shell of what we think it would take to deploy into California and support the local agencies, state, local, federal, and even some of the NGOs. And we just think we have this very good network of SDVOSBs out there that know what it takes to deploy to do something, not just to go to work 9 to 5, but actually show up, live in a tent if you have to, until the job is done.
What would that look like based on your expertise, not only from the military, but with what you're talking about here and what you're trying to achieve for people in California? What would that look like in the Middle East, in Gaza, if Trump says, okay, we're going to go in there, we're going to basically demolish everything, build it from scratch, and try to turn it into Dubai 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ironic because it's not unlike certain things that USAID has done with the military, you know, in conjunction. But it's probably, if the military were going to lead something like that, it would take a lot of civil and military support. There's a thing we do here in the United States called DISCA, which is Defense in Support of Civil Authorities. DISCA operations are basically the military creating a base, providing the protection, and allowing the local and civil authorities to do what they have to do. If that were to take place in Gaza, it would be really interesting. I know we have the resources to do it. How the international theater would respond to that, you know, it's getting hard to keep up with all the ideas coming out of this new administration.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly could do it. America can do anything.
Yes, I agree.
But how the world would respond to that is an interesting conundrum. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But yes, if they called on me, I'd go help do it.
There you go. Joey Fay with us, United States Marine Corps vet. He is our Window Nation Veteran Spotlight for the first Wednesday of the month of February. You're a Whippain Township guy, Bluebell, PA guy. You have a wife. You have daughters. So we have three things in common.
Yeah.
We'll throw in a fourth here. We both have to deal with the potholes on DeKalb Pike. So one day we'll go drinking one day and talk about all of our issues. But on a serious note, you served this country active duty until 2009. So you've been out of it, you know, from active standpoint for 15, 16 years. Tell us what kind of led you down that path. I ask all of our guests this. Was it a call of duty in action? Was it something in the news? Was it a family thing? Is this a family legacy? How did you get involved in serving our country?
There is a family legacy there, but I will admit that a lot of it has to do with being a child of the 80s and loving Rambo and loving Commando. And
yeah, it's
loving,
like Red Stalker.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen,
I mean, I had the Marine Corps poster over my bed when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be that guy, you know, with the right, with the knife and the rope. And so, you know, I found out later how much it is really a team sport, and those Rambos are really non-existent. But the Marine Corps is in my family. My grandfather fought in World War II. His name was Richard Joseph Fay. That's my name. I never met him. He died of cancer, probably from them making him watch the Bikini Island testings. So I never got to meet him, but all his Marine Corps uniforms had my name on it. And so I grew up with that in the back of my mind. My uncle was the crew chief for HMX-1. In fact, he told me a lot about that flight path that created that incident recently and how difficult it is to fly through that area.
Mm-hmm.
HMX-1 crews do it all the time. So I was inspired by my grandfather and my uncle and, of course, all the great movies in the 80s.
Yeah. So you get done, you're seeking your professional career, family life, settling down, and then you end up getting involved with Travis Manion Foundation. What was it that led you to TMF? Because there's many organizations out there, and I love working with them, going up there to the office in Doylestown, Bucks County. They've been great. Our foundation, our radiothon coming up in just about 6.5 weeks. What led you into this endeavor?
I think one of the great things about going to the Naval Academy and being in the military is having the chance to walk with heroes and get to know them and and be inspired by them. And I met Travis at the Naval Academy. We served in the Marines together. We trained together right before his last deployment. He wasn't my best friend. He was someone I knew and someone who I thought was a really tough SOB.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he signed up to go back with a MIT team, which if anybody wants to Google what a MIT team is, it's a very dangerous thing to do. He did it. And then the actions that he did in country were so inspiring to me that he was killed in 07 and I was getting out in 09. And at that time, his family was just kind of coming up with this foundation. And his father, Tom Mannion, also a Marine, was running for Congress. And I just said to my wife, she's from Lansdale, I said, can we move close to Doylestown so that I can support Tom's run for Congress and get to know what the Travis Mannion Foundation is? So we moved there. I had no job and no idea what I was doing. But I supported that foundation, and everything that's happened to me since then has been born of that choice.
We've got Victor here as well, sales manager here for the Philadelphia region, the Delaware Valley market. What is it? Because, you know, without your sponsorship, we're not talking to guys like Joey on a monthly basis. What is it that, you know, gravitates and pulls you guys in to something like TMF and highlighting these vets?
Sure. Yeah. Good to be here, by the way, everyone.
It's great to see you again.
Yeah. Thank you. The veterans sacrifice so much for the country, you know, so supporting them is not just a responsibility, it's an honor, is how we look at it at the company. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're committed to using our resources to improve the lives of our of those who serve, like yourself, Joe. So, you know, especially here in Philadelphia, we focused a lot on the veterans initiatives and our outreaches. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's more than just windows, right? It's about giving back in a way that truly impacts the vets and everyday lives.
And if veterans are in the market for their own home, for windows, you guys take care of them as well.
Absolutely. Home should be a place of security and comfort, and many veterans face challenges in maintaining their homes after service, and that's something that we step up and take care of.
By the way, JK13 on the YouTube chat, Nick, says Joey inspires every team he coaches. Are you also a coach?
No, I'm not a coach.
No, not you.
Yeah, I coach your whip pain. Yeah. Nice. I'm trying to get Nick to let me coach his daughters in tumbling, even though I don't know how to tumble.
If you trust me, if you want to coach them for less than $1,200 a month, we'll switch academies right now.
Can I come back when you talk about club sports?
Yeah, I'm sad.
All right.
I didn't realize Joey follows us on Twitter and tweets along with the show.
He enjoyed the give me 6 inches or give me nothing yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that.
Most people appreciate my my humor.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. I appreciate that.
Now, obviously, you're a big sports guy, I can tell. Eagles on Sunday. Let's go off script here a little bit. Give me a prediction.
Well, real quick, let me just say thank you to Window Nation. Sure. And also, since I heard you're a Giants fan, thank you for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. you're a Giants fan? All right, we're done with you. Thanks for Barkley, though.
Yeah, you should go to Window Nation anyway.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
But we do appreciate your sponsorship of this. The Travis Mannion Foundation is awesome. It helps vets like me all the time. And then, as far as the Eagles go,
yeah,
I say this all the time. I believe in it. Defense wins championships. Yep. Our defense is awesome.
Yep.
I think Hurts is going to show up. I think Barkley's going to show up. I know the O-line is going to show up.
Yep.
But the defense is going to win this.
Mm-hmm. Get after Patty and beat him down.
Yeah.
I like it. Lastly, because I see you're a Penn State grad. You got your bachelor's there. Condolences on that. Sorry, I'm a Temple guy. But I'm also a James Franklin realist. You guys ever going to win a championship with that guy or what?
Well, let me make a correction, okay? As much as I wanted to play for Penn State, I went to the Naval Academy. I played football at Navy. I got my MBA at Penn State.
Oh.
Just because I always wanted to be a Nittany Lion. And I don't know if they'll win it with Rich.
What year did you play college ball at the Academy?
03. I graduated 03.
Okay.
Yeah. The dark ages, right before Paul Johnson.
A kid that I graduated. Do you remember Matt Millen?
Yes.
Penn Stater, broadcaster.
Yes, of course.
His son, Marcus, graduated high school in 04, 05 and played. They had a scholarship to the Naval Academy to play outside linebacker. I was wondering if maybe you crossed paths with this kid.
Well, I'm an Allentown kid, so I went to Parkland and the Millen name.
Yeah. He's a Whitehall guy.
It's a big deal up there. Whitehall like Barkley,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, yeah, I played football at Parkland in that Lehigh Valley network where we put out one great player every decade or so.
So you were
not one of them.
So you were with Austin Scott.
He was a little bit behind me. I was 98. I think he was like 01 or something.
Okay.
Like that. But yeah.
Because I'm an Easton guy, class of 02.
Easton. Oh,
this
gosh.
Guy's like my brother from another.
I know.
Other than the fact that he's tough and went to the military, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, you guys are just.
Yeah.
The Red Rovers, man. That was our last game of every year, man, and it was always a hard one.
Small world, man. Well, seriously, thank you for your service, man.
True hero.
I really appreciate you guys having us, and I appreciate your sponsorship.
And if you ever want to take up the dancing thing for like $400 a month versus $1,200, I'll give you my number.
All right.
By the way, if you enjoy these segments and, you know, you really, really, you know, we couldn't do this without Window Nation. So make sure you patronize Window Nation, windownation.com.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You got
Thanks, everyone.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Phil Almquist with Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history, history on Kale and Company.
February 5th, we celebrate the birthdays of Chris Barron from the Spin Doctors, who's 57, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, who's 61, David Denny from the Steve Miller Band, who's 77, and Chuck Winfield from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, who's now 82. Heavenly birthday shouts to Corey Wells from Three Dog Night. We also lost Tim Kelly from Slaughter on this day in 98. Singles include Fall You Down by the Gin Blossoms in 96, not 93, and Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode in 1990. Albums include The Yellow Tape by Bad Brains in 82. Boys Don't Cry by The Cure in 80. And Medicine at Midnight by The Foo Fighters in 2021. By the way, it's a good album, but winning the Best Rock Album Grammy was a joke. Then again, the Grammys know who the lead singer for The Foo Fighters is, but not who the drummer... Come on. Not who the drummer for Nirvana is. Now that's where the rib shot is.
I'm sorry.
He's a little slow this time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Also in 2016, a new species of black tarantula was named after Johnny Cash. In 2006, the Rolling Stones played the Super Bowl. In 2004, Paul McCartney did the same thing. In 71, Black Sabbath started recording Master of Reality. In 83, Def Leppard's Pyromania began a 92-week run on the U.S. charts. In 62, Ringo Starr appeared live with the Beatles for the first time. In 2018, Paul Simon announced his final tour. And today at 10, pre-sale tickets go on sale for the Devo show at the Met in Philly on May 1st. But lastly, in 57, Bill Haley arrived in London for his first British tour. He was the first American rock star to tour there and is met by about 4,000 fans, mostly thanks to promoters. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Almquist.
And also coming up at 10 today, not tickets for sale, but it is Dawn Stensland, and she's got content for consumption.
Yeah, because ahead of tomorrow's February 6th deadline, what are 11 Democrats, state attorneys general, including from our region, what are they urging residents to do when you are a federal employee as far as that so-called deferred resignation buyout plan? And are they saying you should take the deal? Is it an offer they can't refuse? We'll look into that one. Who really killed a teacher, a beautiful teacher named Ellie? Well, we'll talk to the attorney representing the family, Victorious, in this bombshell case. Who is the killer? Is there a murderer among us? And why isn't anybody talking about who the real killer is after bombshell this week in the case? You're going to find out. We're going to break some news with the attorney this morning. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about energy. Drill, baby, drill. There's breaking news with that. Of course, we'll have all things Trump for all you Trumpaholics, as Amy called herself. So we believe me, you will guzzle. You will be guzzling Trump during the Dawn show.
Jimmy, get that on the board. Dawn, you will guzzle. So we've got Deal or No Deal and then a murder mystery.
Yes.
I love this. This is phenomenal. What a tease. Woo. Best tease of all time.
Thank you. Great work
out of Dawn. As John Fetterman would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.